Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 30 of Revelation chapter 9, and we're going to be reading verse 16 and 17. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, again, we're continuing verse by verse through the book of Revelation and into chapter 9. And we saw in our last study that the number of the horsemen were 200 million. And that is the number that is in the Greek text. And it's very possible that that is an actual number of God's elect. And this would include the great multitude that God saved and brought out of great tribulation. Now the 200 million horsemen are one and the same with the four messengers. They're synonymous ways of referring to the same group, and that again is God's chosen people, all those that he has saved. Well, let's move on to verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in vision, and them that sat on them. So the Apostle John is given this vision by the Lord, and he sees the horses and them that sat on them. So he sees an army of horsemen, the men seated upon the horses. Now, we have discussed this before, because back in Revelation 9, the same chapter, but back in verse 7, in describing the locusts, God said, "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men." And here also the locusts are typifying the great multitude of God's elect. And the locusts who torment men for 5 months are basically the flip side of the same coin, as God wanted to emphasize the judgment that came upon all men, the torment for the figurative 5 month period of time. And that 5 months is just a figure to represent the complete duration of judgment day, which very likely will be 1600 days. And so the locusts brought judgment for that period of time. And now the 200 million horsemen are likewise bringing judgment, but their target is more refined or focused. It is the third part of men. God is zeroing in on those in the churches and the fact that they were slain for all intents and purposes once Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. And yet, it all has to do with the battle of Judgment Day. And so God speaks of horses prepared unto battle of the locusts, and the 200 million are likened to horsemen that are riding their horses. And remember also Revelation chapter 19, which is describing this same event, the same time when judgment begins on this world. And it says in verse 13 of the Lord Jesus, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. There is Christ and his armies that are upon horses, white horses to typify their purity, to indicate that God does not hold them accountable for any sin. Their sins have been washed away. They're all saved. This is the army of God's elect. And they too are seen with Christ doing battle upon horses in the time of judgment. And let's not forget also from the Old Testament in the book of Joel, in Joel chapter 2, and this really is a companion passage to Revelation 9 and the locust. It says in Joel 2 verse 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like. Neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Notice here in Joel that God's army, it gives the appearance of horses and as horsemen. That is, both the horses and the horsemen are identified with the army of God. And it's just indicating the elect people of God going forth in power and strength, as horses can typify strength in the Bible. And this is the time when God and his people are strong. They have won the victory. They have won the battle over Satan and over the kingdom of Satan. Well, we've gone over that, so we're not going to spend too much time. We can see why it is that the 200 million horsemen are upon horses. It has to do with the battle. And so back in Revelation 9 verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. So the men that are seated upon the horses have breastplates. Now, again, that reminds us of something we read earlier in the chapter concerning the locust in verse 9 of Revelation 9. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And do you remember how we were able to solve what God was saying there and understand it? Well, we realized that when the Bible speaks of the breastplate, for instance, as it does in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 14, where the Lord is describing the armor of God, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And what does that mean? What does that armor of God point to? And the answer is, all of the armor points to the Lord Jesus Christ. The shield of faith is Christ. Having your loins girt about with truth is Christ. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is Christ. He is the Word made flesh. The breastplate of righteousness is Christ. He is made unto us, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, sanctification and righteousness. He is our righteousness. And then we also saw in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, there the attributes of the breastplate changed. It's no longer said to be a breastplate of righteousness, but a breastplate of faith and love. Well, why? What does that mean? Well, what we can be sure of is just as Christ is righteousness, he is faith. And just as he is faith and righteousness, he is love. God is love, the Bible says. And then we understand, oh, the breastplate is pointing to Christ. That's what the breastplate is. And so God can assign any various attribute that he likes that applies to Christ and call it the breastplate of righteousness. It's still the breastplate of Christ. Or call it the breastplate of faith and love, and it's still the breastplate of Christ. Or he can call it, as he does in Revelation 9, the breastplate of iron. Why iron? Well, because it's judgment day, and the Lord Jesus is ruling with a rod of iron. And Christ takes upon himself the characteristic of iron, and the breastplate points to Christ, and whatever attribute the Lord wants to assign to it, and therefore it is a breastplate of iron for the locusts. But now for the 200 million, again in verse 17, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And now these things, of course, point to the anger, the wrath, the fury of God in the day of judgment. And our God is a consuming fire, the Bible says. And what about brimstone? Well, remember in Isaiah 30, verse 33, it said, therefore, Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He has made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of Jehovah, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. The breath of God, the breath of Jehovah, kindles like a stream of brimstone. And what would the breath of Jehovah point to? Well, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the word inspiration, if we were to break it down and look at it literally, points to God breathe. The Word of God, the Bible, is God breathe. The Word of God is the breath of Jehovah. And like a stream of brimstone, God is able to kindle fire with it. So fire and brimstone both point to God in his wrath. And when in his anger towards mankind's sin, he has determined to destroy them, to punish them with an everlasting destruction. And that's exactly what God has done once we entered into the day of judgment, once the date of May 21, 2011 came around, and according to God's timetable that is derived from the Bible, that began judgment day. And so we find the breastplates of God's people who are taking upon themselves now those breastplates, the characteristics of God that have application for the task at hand, which is to bring judgment to the inhabitants of the earth. And so the breastplates we read of the 200 million are fire and jacinth and brimstone. And so we actually have a good understanding of why that is, because their breastplate is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is no longer showing mercy, no longer bestowing grace, but now pouring out his wrath. And so the attribute of the Lord Jesus at this time, it is nothing good for unsaved man at all. Well, let's look at fire and brimstone a little bit before we continue on. Let's just remind ourselves what the Bible has to say about fire and brimstone. And fire and brimstone first makes an appearance in the book of Genesis with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we read of this in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And we understand that the fire and brimstone was literal when God rained it from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain and destroyed them with literal fire and brimstone that fell from heaven above. And yet, as we saw with Isaiah 30, verse 33, God relates his own word to brimstone and himself to fire. And so we have to keep that in mind. Well, let's turn back to Genesis 19, and we'll take a look at the historical record of that destruction, beginning in Genesis 19, in verse 16. And while he lingered, that's referring to Lot, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, Jehovah being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. The city that they're referring to is Zoar, and notice how Zoar is said to be a little one. Now that little city is spiritually pointing to the refuge that sinners find in Christ. It was one of the cities of the plain, like Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboam, and yet God spared it, and he spared all that were in that city. Now, let's compare Ecclesiastes 9 with this language of a little city. It says in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 14, There was a little city and few men within it. Now, God likens the elect to few. Many are called, few are chosen. Notice this little city here in Ecclesiastes has few within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. This poor wise man would be the Lord, representative of the Lord Jesus. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. And that's, of course, what Christ did for the city of God. For all those that he came to save, he delivered them. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. So there's a little parable to indicate that God likens a little city to a place of deliverance where Christ delivers his elect. And that's why the emphasis in Genesis 19 upon Zoar, a little city. And then it says in verse 22, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Now Lot is said to be righteous in the New Testament. That righteous man, he dwelt among them and so forth. So God lets us know that he's saved and that he is a righteous man because he typifies all of those made righteous by the righteousness of Christ, by the Lord Jesus. And God will not bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities until Lot entered into Zoar, until the righteous ones, those to be saved, were saved, and then it is as though they are in a safe city. They are secure from the destruction. It's similar to Isaiah 26, when God speaks to his people and says, come, my people, and enter thou into thy chambers, and hide thyself a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. It's the same as when we read of the five wise virgins that enter in when the bridegroom comes, and then the door is shut. Likewise, Lot entered into Zoar and thereby was safe and secure from the destruction that was about to come. And so it says, and let me read verse 23 again, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then Jehovah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Jehovah out of heaven. Notice the word rained. We actually find that in a few places. It was in Luke 17 also, and in a couple of other places that God mentions brimstone. In Psalm 11, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone. Why the word rain? Well, because it came down from heaven like rain falls from heaven. Yes, but another reason is that rain has to do with the word of God. Remember Isaiah 55, as God speaks of sending forth his word, and it says in verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So the rain from heaven is likened to the word of God. And then God speaks of seasons of rain, the early and the latter rain. And the latter rain fell at the end of the Great Tribulation period, the last about 17 years. And then that rain completed, but that was beneficial rain, good rain, a blessing. It had to do with salvation. God saved the great multitude as a result of the pouring out of that rain from heaven. But when judgment day comes, now the rain, the water that is likened to the gospel that flows forth and converts the sinner from the error of his way, now the water is no more, but it rains nonetheless. It rains fire and brimstone from heaven. Now God's word, remember Isaiah 30 verse 33, the breath of Jehovah doth kindle it, brimstone. It, God is that fire. Now God's word is no longer going forth to save sinners. No longer is it bringing mercy and grace and favor, but now it is condemnation. Now it is damnation. Now it is words of punishment for the wicked. And so the fire and brimstone is falling all over the earth, just as the latter rain fell all over the earth. But the nature of the rain is now completely changed. And it says here in verse 24, again in Genesis 19, then Jehovah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Jehovah out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And God is indicating that the people were destroyed by the rain, and not only the people, but that which grew upon the ground. Let's just look at one last place, if we can, if we have time. In Deuteronomy 29, beginning in verse 22, God is speaking of his people. And it says there, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which Jehovah has laid upon it, that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which Jehovah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore has Jehovah done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Jehovah, God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And Jehovah rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. Now let's consider this earnestly. Let's consider this for a second. And it would be good to go over these verses. And when we do, we realize this is speaking of God's judgment on Israel of old, and in turn, spiritually, as Israel represented the church, the New Testament churches during the Great Tribulation. And notice that God is likening that judgment that fell upon the church, the judgment which began at the house of God, to brimstone and salt and burning. And they became a land not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom. Of course, it was not literal fire and brimstone that fell on the churches, nor was it literal fire and brimstone that fell on Israel when they were shipped off to Babylon, but it was spiritually fire and brimstone. This is the judgment of God to remove his Holy Spirit, to leave his people in darkness, to remove fruitfulness from them so that their land cannot grow. Well, you can see how this has great significance to what God did on May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began, and he likens that to a time of fire and brimstone.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.